Psalm 61. To the chief musician on stringed instrument. A psalm of David. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings, Selah. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. You will prolong the king's life, his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Please do keep your Bibles open at Psalm 61. As I said, we worked in Japan for 8 years, and I don't know how much you know about Japan. In many ways, it's a very safe place. There's very little crime. But in other ways, it's quite a dangerous place to live. There are many natural disasters. I don't know if you remember from 2011, on March the 11th, we'd only been in Japan just less than a year. Ethan was one at the time. Anna was at the language school having some lessons that afternoon. I was at home doing some language homework, studying Japanese. Ethan was in the cot having his afternoon nap. And then it started. The building began to shake. Now, having grown up in Japan myself, I was quite used to earthquakes. But this was a big one. And it was long. It went on for a long time. So much so that I went and picked Ethan up out of the cot that he was fast asleep in. And I went and stood in the doorway of the kitchen. They say in an earthquake, standing in a doorway is a recommended place to be. But as the earthquake carried on, as I was cradling our first child, our baby, I started thinking, now if this building collapses, we were on the ground floor flat of an 8-story high building, a block of flats. I was thinking, if this building collapses, this little door frame is not going to provide much protection. And I don't mind telling you, I was rather anxious. There was another time, one summer, we had gone away to this little house by the sea for a holiday. And while we were there, one night, there was a typhoon. There were strong winds that were shaking the rattling the windows, and the rain was pelting down, and it was really noisy. Thankfully, the kids slept through it. But in the morning, we discovered that it had been the worst typhoon that had hit Japan in the last 25 years, the previous 25 years. And as we opened the curtains and looked out in front of the house, the grass in front of the house was covered in debris. And there was a barn next door to the house which had been completely flattened by this typhoon. We looked out to sea, and there were like literal trees bobbing out to sea that had come down from the river, which was brown with mud and debris. Thankfully, in God's mercy, the house that we were in was fine, but that was a rather shaky moment. What made it worse was the next day, there was an earthquake and a power cut throughout the whole island of Hokkaido, where we were, the northern island of Japan. So there was a power cut, the gas had been turned off, we weren't sure if the water would stay on, we didn't know if we would have enough food to last, and I was able to go to the shops where the shelves were empty. Again, we were rather anxious. And then a couple of days later, we were driving back home and it was dark because of the power cut. The traffic lights weren't working. Some of the roads were completely caved in, and there was cracks in the roads. And that was rather hair-raising drive back home, I have to tell you. Around the same time, there were news reports that North Korea had been developing their nuclear weapons. And with this in the background, one morning, just a normal morning, I got up to do my Bible reading and praying. As I was reading my Bible, my phone suddenly started blaring at me, beep, beep, beep. And it had this message on it, missiles are on your way, take cover. The recommended wisdom was, if you have a basement, go and take shelter in the basement. We didn't have a basement, so the next best thing was to stay inside. But again, as we waited and thought, if this missile falls on us, staying inside this house is not going to give us much protection. And again, I felt pretty worried. Now, I hope that you don't have to face these kinds of dangers, but all of us have been through a global pandemic, which I'm sure has been rather worrying. As we've been looking at the news and seeing the numbers of COVID cases rise and fall, I'm sure all of us have had our anxious moments. But even besides the pandemic, just in day-to-day life, we might be worried about our finances. How are we going to pay the bills? Or perhaps we have health concerns. Perhaps there's a friendship or a relationship in your family that has broken down, or there's conflict and tension. Perhaps you're not sure if you're going to be able to keep your job. In these worrying moments, in these anxious times, where do we turn to for refuge? What is our refuge in those trials? Well, this morning, Psalm 61 is here to encourage us to take refuge in God. Take refuge in God. If you remember nothing else this morning, I want you to remember to take refuge in God. And I think there are at least five good reasons in this psalm to take refuge in God. So firstly, take refuge in God because he's listening. Because he's listening. Look at verse 1 again. Verse 1 says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed." It seems that David here feels that he is distant from God. Perhaps he is geographically a long way from Jerusalem, where the tabernacle was, the symbol of God's presence with his people. Or perhaps it was more of an emotional, spiritual distance that he felt. What about you? Have you ever felt that God is far away? That he's somehow distant? Well, the good news is that God is listening. Look with me at verse 5. Later on in this psalm, David says, "For you, O God, have heard my vows." David knows that God has heard him. When we had that power cut, when we were on that holiday by the sea, because of the power cut, there were no lights anywhere. And that night, as we stepped outside and looked up, thankfully, it was a clear night. There were no clouds in the sky. And as we looked up, every inch of the sky was covered in stars. I don't know what it's like around here, but often when you look up at the sky, you see one or two stars, but not that many because of the light pollution. But that night, we saw millions of stars. We clearly saw the Milky Way stretched across the sky. We saw different constellations that we were recognizing. We saw satellites tootling across the expanse of the heavens. We even saw some shooting stars. What a spectacle. What an amazing sight that was. And when I see stars like that, and you think, every one of those stars is probably like our own star, the sun, got its own solar system with planets orbiting around it. Galaxy, you know, the Milky Way is a galaxy with millions of stars in, and yet that galaxy is one of billions of galaxies in the universe. The mind boggles at how vast the heavens are. And I feel about this big. And yet, the God who made all of that is listening to me and you. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that amazing? God is listening. One of the most tragic things that we saw in Japan, and we saw it regularly as we walked down the street, there'd be people stopping at a shrine here or there. They'd throw in their coins into the coffers, clap to wake up the gods and pray. And if you ask them, who are you praying to? I don't know. They wouldn't know. But they would clap to wake up the gods in the vain hope that somebody out there would be listening. What a tragedy. And yet, friends, we have here a God who we know is listening. We don't have to wake him up. He is listening right now. What a blessing. So take refuge in God because he's listening. Secondly, take refuge in God because he's strong. Now, it's all very well having a God who can listen to you, but if it's a weak God, that's not going to be much help to you, is it? But look at verse 2 again. The second half of verse 2 says, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy." In times of difficulty, I wonder, do you seek refuge in friends or family, in the government? Those people are probably just about as weak as you and I. But God is not weak. God is strong. In Japan, there's a village on the east coast of Japan called Aneyoshi. Apparently in 1933, there was a tsunami that destroyed the whole village by the coast. There were only four survivors. And they set up a monument, these four survivors set up a monument at the highest point that the tsunami reached. And the monument says something like, it's a 10-foot tall stone monument. Quite a big thing. And it's there to warn people not to build lower than that point where the tsunami destroyed everything. And it says something along the lines of, "Remember the calamity of the great tsunami. Do not build any homes below this point. Always be prepared for disaster. Choose life over your possessions." But And there are lots of these kinds of monuments scattered all over the East Coast. But sadly, these monuments were not heeded. The warning was not heeded. And people started to build lower, closer to the coast. Instead, they built these sea walls, these sea defences. But in 2011, on March the 11th, on that day when that earthquake happened, and then there was a 10-meter high wave, it just went straight over those sea walls and continued its destruction. They had taken refuge in a seawall that was not strong enough. A friend of ours, a guy called Rod, who is a colleague in OMF in Japan, that day he was staying at his house by the sea, and he and his wife, when the earthquake hit, they were just getting into their car, and they felt the earthquake, and being by the sea, they wisely got out of the car and went back up the hill to where the house was on top of a hill by the sea on a cliff edge. And from that cliff, they watched as this huge tidal wave swept across the beach where they'd just been and continued its path of destruction. But as they stood on that cliff, and that huge tidal wave hit the cliff, it didn't budge an inch. It stood firm. They were stood on a rock that was higher than them, and they were safe. That's the kind of refuge that David is speaking about here. That's the kind of strength that he is talking about, like a strong tower, a fortress. So take refuge in God because he's strong. Thirdly, take refuge in God because he's gentle. Because he's gentle. Now, when you hear about God being the kind of refuge that is strong like a fortress or like a rock, you might get the impression that he is hard and cold and unfeeling. But read on. Look at verse 4 with me. Verse 4 says, David says, I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Abiding in the tabernacle, David wants to live in the same place that God lives. When you live with someone in the same place, That's a really intimate situation, isn't it? You get to know them pretty well. It's a close situation. But more than that, look at this image in verse 4. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Have you ever seen chicks after they've hatched? They're chirping away, all cute and fluffy. But they're vulnerable, aren't they? If they're exposed to the cold, the wind and the rain, they would probably get ill and die. Or they might be easy pickings for predators. They wouldn't survive long, would they? But the mother comes and shelters them. She protects them with her wings. You can picture it, the chicks snuggling up to those soft down feathers on the mother's breast. It's a picture of warmth, of intimacy, of real closeness, isn't it? That's the kind of refuge that we have in God. So take refuge in God because he's gentle. Fourthly, take refuge in God because he's generous. Because he's generous. Look again at verse 5 with me. Verse 5 says, For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. It's all very well having this refuge that is gentle, but if God is not willing to give, then that's not much use to us. But God is generous. God promised the land, the promised land of Canaan to the Israelites, and David is standing in it. He is standing in proof of God's generosity. And it doesn't stop there, because the promised land in the Old Testament is actually a foretaste, a shadow of the eternal promised land that we have to look forward to, the new heavens and the new earth. That's generous, isn't it? Jesus goes on in Matthew chapter 7 to say that even evil fathers like me know how to give good gifts to their children. How much more your Father in heaven knows how to give good gifts to you. James says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, from our Father. And the ultimate gift, Paul explains in Romans 8, is the gift of God's Son. And Paul says, if God did not spare his Son, the most precious, the most worthy, valuable thing in the universe, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? You see the logic. If God does not hold on to the most precious possession of his, but generously gives Jesus to us, his Son, all these other little insignificant things, of course he's going to give them as well. So take refuge in God, because he's generous. Fifthly, take refuge in God because he's in control. It's all very well having a God who's generous and wants to give, but if he has no authority, no power, then that's not much use to us either. But God is in control. Look again at verse 6 with me. Verse 6 says, David saying to God, you will prolong the king's life, his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. Now, as David is praying for the king here, that he might abide before God forever, he is not thinking that he himself will never die. He's remembering that promise that God made to him back in 2 Samuel 7. You don't need to turn to it. It says, your house and your kingdom, this is God making a promise to David, your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. Then many years later, you get the prophet Isaiah saying, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. A couple chapters later, we hear these familiar words that we often hear at Christmas time. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. And then we get to the New Testament in Luke chapter 1, and an angel appears to this virgin and says to her, you will conceive and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Do you see? The fulfillment of this prayer and of the promise in 2 Samuel is found in Jesus. Jesus is that king who will reign forever, who will abide before God forever, whose kingdom will never end. The theologian Abraham Kuyper famously said, "There is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, 'Mine.'" To put it positively, every square inch of the universe, Jesus says, "That belongs to me." Every square inch of Clan Trisant, of Clydach, of Wales, of Japan, of the whole world, of the galaxies, all of it, Jesus says, "Mine." Jesus also says in Matthew's gospel, "Not even a sparrow falls to the ground apart from the will of my Father. Even the hairs on our heads are numbered by him." Friends, God is in control. So take refuge in him because he's in control. A quick recap. Take refuge in God because he's listening, because he's strong, because he's gentle, because he's generous, and because he's in control. But let's just take a moment now to think, what does that actually mean? It's all very well saying, take refuge in God. What does that actually mean? What are we talking about here? Let's do a silent mental exercise. So I want you to quietly, in your mind, finish the sentence, complete the sentence, fill in the blank. I feel safe and secure when... Fill in the blank. It's all going to be okay as long as... How do you finish the sentence? I'll be able to relax if and when. Many of you, I'm sure you know the right answer, when you take refuge in God. But what is our first port of call? Where do we actually turn to when we're in the thick of it? When we're in those anxious moments? Perhaps you might think, I'll be able to relax when I've paid off the mortgage, or if I've got this much in the bank account, then I'll be able to relax. Perhaps you say, I'll feel secure if I knew that I could keep my job, I had my job security, or if I felt like I was valued, like I was making a difference. Perhaps you'd say, I'd be able to relax and feel safe if I didn't have to see the doctor again, if I didn't have all these aches and pains, if I got double vaccinated, then I'd feel safe. Maybe you'd say, I'd feel secure if they started giving me some respect. Or if he started treating me right. Or when she starts being nice to me. Or if they could just get along. What is our first port of call? Where do we first turn to in those moments? Do we check the bank balance? Do we pick up the phone to call someone? I'm not saying there's anything inherently wrong with those things. But what are we trusting in? Do we pray? Remember that God is listening. Remember that His presence is with us. Remember His promises to us. Take refuge in God, because He's listening. He's strong. He's gentle. He's generous. And He's in control. And the only reason that we can take refuge in God is because of Jesus. It's because of Jesus. That's the only reason. It's because of Jesus that we can take refuge in a God who is listening. Because when He hung on the cross, when He cried out to God, when He was crying to God, asking God to hear His prayer, He cried out, my God, why have You forsaken Me? And God did not listen to His prayer. God did not attend to His cry. And because of that, we can take refuge in a God who is listening. We can take refuge in a God who is strong, because Jesus, the Son of God, the Almighty Creator, who by a word flung stars into space, He became a baby, a weak and helpless baby. And that means that we can take refuge in a God who is like a rock, like a strong fortress. We can take refuge in a God who is gentle and take shelter under His wings, because Jesus was exposed to the storm of God's right anger at our sin. He was exposed to the elements. He did not have that shelter. And because of that, we can take shelter in a God who is gentle. We can take refuge in a God who is generous, because the Son of God, the Prince of Heaven, in all His glory, left all of that and came to this world, born into the family of a poor carpenter. By His poverty, we are rich. I'm not talking about the bank accounts. But as Ephesians 1 says, we have every spiritual blessing in Christ. We can take refuge in a God who is generous, because Jesus became poor for us. And we can take refuge in a God who is in control, because the King of Kings came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. When you think of what a wonderful refuge we have in God, why would we turn to anything else? When we're facing, whether it's earthquakes and typhoons and nuclear missiles, or whether it's pandemics and health concerns and financial worries and relational problems, whatever it might be, when we're in those moments where we're anxious and we need a safe haven, take refuge in God. If you've never trusted in the God of the Bible, why not? Why not do it now? You will never find a better refuge than in the God of the Bible. Trust in Jesus Christ and his death on the cross in our place, taking the punishment that we deserve. And go to God. Pray to him, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I can tell you, I can promise you, he will not let you down. Take refuge in God. And the only appropriate response, as we've looked at what a wonderful refuge we have in God, is found in verse 8. Verse 8 says, "So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." Obedience and praise are the appropriate response to seeing that God is such a good refuge.